I hope this title will not be too misleading, because what I'll be talking about, I'll be talking really about six vertex model in statistical mechanics on a square grid. So here's the definition. So consider square lattice, square grid of the size n by n, say n capital, we'll keep in mind this number. And states of this model, or configurations of this model, are simply configuration of paths with the rule that every path can only say, if it starts at the top, it can turn right and it can go down. So every path goes like this. The configuration of paths coming in and going out at the boundary is fixed. And they are not oriented, so I shouldn't say coming in and going out. And then, sort of, the goal is to consider statistics of these paths. So to each configuration, we should assign some probability. And this probability in this particular six-vertex model, which came a long time ago from certain models, for example, melting of ice can be described by this model, and also certain real models in two-dimensional statistical mechanics, like ferroelectricity, can be described by this model. So the probability of each configuration of such paths is the following. It's first we define the weight of such state. It's a product over all vertices of weights of individual vertices, and weights of individual vertices are positive numbers, and by these rules that I just described, the only possible vertices are these six vertices. This is where the name of the model came from. So about this vertex, I prefer to think in this way, so that this path goes down to this vertex and then it turns right. So this is rather not the intersection point, but the collision point of two paths. So then there could be empty vertices. Path can just pass through the vertex in either horizontal or vertical or horizontal direction. It can turn at the vertex either in this way or in this way. So in some sense, there is a built asymmetry in the model, because if everything would be symmetric, we certainly would allow paths turn like this and turn like this. Then we would have eight configurations, and this is the famous eight vertex model in statistical mechanics. So what we want to do is we want to sort of sample these paths with the following probability. Probability of each state is equal to the ratio of the weight of the state by the normalizing factor, which is known as partition function, and it just normalizes total probability by one. So the partition function is sum over all states, the weight of the state, and the sum is taken only over the states with the configuration of paths at the boundary fixed in a certain way. So we're talking about fixed boundary conditions. So then, so this is the, so in some sense, we're talking about random configuration of paths distributed with the probability that I just described. So then it's convenient to introduce characteristic functions of H's. So these are functions on states, and the value, say, of function sigma vertical at the state is equal to 1 if there is a vertical path coming down to this vertex. And it doesn't matter what's on the other edges. And it's 0 if there is no vertical path descending down. Similarly, for horizontal edges, we can also define these characteristic functions. In spin systems, this would be local spin observables. And then, since we have the probability measure on this paths, so we can define expectation values of products of these functions. These things are known as local correlation functions. So this is simply sum of all states with fixed boundary conditions, probability of such state, and then the product of the values of functions on this state. So this is sort of these two objects are the partition function and the set of all these correlation functions. This is sort of the main ingredient usually in statistical mechanics in any quantum field theory. And if our lattice is finite, well, basically there is nothing interesting. You have collections of numbers. So you can try to enumerate them, try to some explicit formula, but that's not what is interesting. What is interesting is to find out how these ingredients behave in the thermodynamical limit when the size of the system goes to the infinity. So before I will start to talk about this, I want to make a connection between between six vertex model and fluctuating surfaces. So here is the same square grid, let's say that if we have a function on faces of this square grid, which satisfies the following rules. When you go up through an edge, this function can either have the same value h, or it can increase by 1. If you go through a horizontal, vertically, if you go horizontally through a vertical edge, then it also can either stay the same or increase by 1. So clearly around each vertex, the only possible configurations, if you fix this one, you can have either h, h plus 1 here, h, h plus 1 here, h, h plus 1, h plus 2 over there. So here's an example of a height function on this lattice. So this numbers are values of this height function at every square. So I claim that it's a very easy observation that there is a bijection between such. And I forgot to say, I normalize the height function here by 0 always. So there is an obvious bijection between six vertex configurations and this height functions. So you should simply consider the configuration of passes in the six vertex model as the level curves of such height functions. For example, if you do it here, so one level curve will be separating. So this is one, this is the other, and then the other will separate twos and threes, and then there will be one more and one more. And you see that this is this height function corresponds to exactly the same configuration of paths that was on the previous slide. So we have this bijection. And then if you interpret these numbers sort of as really discrete heights, then there is an obvious bijection between height functions and discrete surfaces with the slope at most 1 in both of the horizontal directions. So here is an example of this three-dimensional configuration corresponding to this height function. So you can think again of this as piles of cubes. And because you can do so, you can assign a volume function to every six vertex configuration. So this is the, and because of this, you can think of this probabilistic measure on configurations of paths for the six vertex model as the probabilistic measure on this special sort of non-descending discrete surfaces. By non-descending, I mean this condition that the slope should be at most 1 in both of the directions, and it cannot be negative. Okay, so having said this, you see we have this probabilistic measure. We also have the natural volume function on the configurations. So what we can do is we can make the problem slightly more complicated, but again, looking very natural, we can introduce the extra weight in this probabilistic measure. So let's fix some number q between 0 and 1? And then instead of the old friend, the 6 vertex weight, we will put extra factor q to the volume of this state. I should say that six vertex model has a long history. It was extensively studied in the 60s and 70s by Young, Sutherland, Leib, Baxter, and it has been studied, and lots of explicit exact information has been attained, but only for the case when q equals 0. Q equals 1. So when q equals 1, it's known that this system is integrable. It's related to quantum deformation of SL2 hat of this loop, central extension of this loop algebra. If q is not equal to 1, probably the situation is more complicated. But still, we can ask these questions again. What can we say about the partition function? What can we say about correlation functions in the presence of this weight? So again, the question is, what is the asymptotical behavior of this partition function and of correlation function as n goes to the infinity? Now, I said n goes to the infinity, but remember, for each n, we have fixed boundary conditions. So we should make some assumption about this boundary condition that they sort of behave naturally as we have sequence of boundary conditions. For each n, we have a boundary condition. So let's assume that they stabilize in the following sense, that, say, the height function along the boundary converges in the appropriate sense to some continuous function phi, say, here, since this is the height function at the bottom of the square, so this is phi b. And in this continuous function, the derivative can be discontinuous, but it should be between 0 and 1 when it exists. So so as n goes to the infinity, boundary conditions will give us 4 functions on the unit interval corresponding to each side of the square. And what we expect as n goes to the infinity is that there will be some asymptotics of the partition function and of correlation functions. And these asymptotics will depend on the weights of the model, on the initial data, and on this functions phi, which describes the asymptotics of the boundary condition. So this is something like a continuous limit for this discrete model. So this is what the question is, and it's largely an open question. I'll present some preliminary results about this. Now, what has been studied extensively, as I mentioned, is the six vertex model with periodical boundary conditions. When you don't fix the configurations of paths at the boundary, but you sum over all configurations which satisfy this periodicity condition, that you have the same configuration of paths here, here, and here, and here. And the assumption is that q equals 1. So in this case, in the exposition below, I follow the review by Leib and Wu, I think from 1972, in the in one of these volumes on statistical mechanics by Dom and Green. So it's convenient to parameterize weights corresponding to vertices, and if I will be switching between physical and, in physics they are called Boltzmann weights. So the meaning of each of these weights is exponent of the minus energy of the state divided over the temperature. So if we introduce this parameterization, then this H and V can be thought as something like magnetic fields in the vertical and horizontal direction. So it's known result that as n goes to the infinity, the partition function of the six-vertex model with periodical boundary conditions behave like this. There is a factor e to the minus n squared f. Well, f is usually called the free energy, and it's negative in this normalization. And then there are no terms, there's no next term of order n. There is no constant term. Well, actually, there is a constant term. I forgot about it. But then the next term will be 1 plus small corrections. And this small, the order of these small corrections depends on the value of this parameter delta. So here I'm describing some very technical results that were obtained by sort of sophisticated techniques of commuting transfer matrices, beta ansatz, and so on. I don't want to explain this. The reason why these results exist is really there is some integrability behind all this, and this integrability was first encoded into so-called Young-Baxter equation, and then we can actually say more precisely that there is this symmetry in the model, which is described by this by the appropriate actions of UQ SL2 hat. So, ignoring all this, I just want to describe the results that are relevant to the question. What is the asymptotic of these fluctuating surfaces? If this parameter greater than 1, the model is always frozen. In other words, there is a dominating the probability of this of one of these states depending on the value of AB will be 1 modulo exponential corrections. And frozen sort of precisely means the following, that, say, the energy of every excitation, if you will slightly deform this configuration of passes, if you think about it, you can always have to do some sort of perturbation of this configuration of passes along some macroscopically long line or curve. And because of this, the energy of this excitation will be always of the order n. So the probability of any state that is different from this, in this case, will be exponentially small. It will be e to the minus n times the energy of the next state. So this is so-called, this is the so-called frozen phase. And this is how the sort of these frozen phases appear. Say, if you will fix the values of A and B, then if you will change the values of these magnetic fields in the HV plane, there will be 4 pieces. In each of these pieces, the most probable state will be one of those, and so this is sort of in statistical mechanics this is called the phase diagram. So this is each of these different configurations are phases. So this is the phase diagram, and the function, this free energy function, it is piecewise linear function. It's a linear function with its own slope on in each of these domains. So it sort of looks like this. It's like a cup made out of 4 planes with the angle like bottom. So this is the case of the frozen six-vertex model. In this case, we can say that for these values of parameters, the as n goes to the infinity, the most probable state is this frozen state, and so the all the correlation functions can be computed accordingly, and asymptotics of the partition function also can be computed accordingly. So if delta is absolute value of delta is less than 1, then the phase diagram is more complicated. There are again these 4 frozen pieces, but between frozen pieces there is a disordered phase. If the values of parameters H and V are in this inner domain. The system is critical. It's a different phase. It is not one of these ordered states. There are fluctuations with finite energy. So this is really, if one can think of these phases, actually one of these four phases, as frozen phases, then this phase inside is something like a gaseous phase. So the free energy function looks like this. It's again, it's a cup. Pardon? Yeah, actually, it's rather liquid. Yes, if you follow this. Yeah, the gaseous is the other one. It's disordered because of the following. The fluctuations in this case can be. So if you will compute correlation functions, then the expectation values of these characteristic functions will be simply derivatives of the free energy with respect to this magnetic field. So this will be something like magnetizations. And then if you will compute two-point correlation functions, then as the distance between the origin and the position of this field goes to the infinity, then it decays as a power of the distance. So fluctuations are at large distances between these correlation functions, but these distances should still be significantly smaller than the size of the system. So there are two scales of distances here. One is the scale N capital of the system, and that is the distance between these two. So this distance d should be always much smaller than the size of the system. But when it's larger, then the fluctuations are described by Gaussian fields and by C equals 1 conformal field theory. So this is the disordered phase. This is actually not correct. This is really gaseous. So then the other case is when this parameter delta is less than minus 1. So then the picture becomes more complicated. You still have these four frozen phases. There is a liquid phase sort of around. And then inside, there is a small island of this gaseous phase where this sort of substance evaporated. So as I said here, correlation functions, microscopical correlation functions here, they decay as powers of the distance. If the distance is large comparing to 1, but still negligent comparing to the size of the system. In this partially ordered or gaseous phase inside, correlation functions decay exponentially. It's gaseous because, you know, there are few molecules, so the information transmits slower. So this is why the correlation functions decay exponentially. If you look at this inner phase, it's called partially ordered because what's happening inside is fluctuations around this configuration when you have the zigzag descending paths in this direction. And if you look now at the possible six vertex configurations around this state, you can see the difference between this partially ordered state and frozen ordered state is that you can switch this path from this position to this position. So there are some microscopical fluctuations of the corresponding discrete surfaces. And the difference, so it's almost everywhere these zigzag paths, and then there are some small fluctuations. And somehow the partition function here is that you have to sum over all these small fluctuations. This is why it's partially ordered. It's sort of macroscopically ordered, but microscopically there are fluctuations, so it's not frozen. But it's also not the disordered phase as here. And as I already mentioned, So in this case, the expectation value of this characteristic functions will be 1/2 always, and then these correlation functions that before decayed as powers of t, now they decay exponentially, so it's non-critical. There is a beautiful description of correlation functions and of microscopical states of this system. In terms of representation theory of UQSL2 hat of level 1, I'm not going to talk about this. I just want to mention that, for example, just recently there was some very explicit formula discovered for these correlation functions, and this kind of search is still going on. But what we want to do is we want to see sort of picture at large. So these correlation functions that are still in question, these are the so if you fix a point in this domain, and then you see how microscopically the system fluctuates. So this is what was known for six vertex model with periodical boundary conditions. As I said, there is integrability there. There are many aspects of this theory that I don't want to discuss. For example, one of the aspects that I don't want to discuss is that this theory, well, you see, because there is this island when delta less than 1. Oops. If delta goes to minus 1, this island disappears. And this island disappears, and so in physics, this is the phenomenon of the phase transition. And you can ask what kind of off-critical quantum field theory would describe the system near this phase transition point. Well, that's known. This is so-called massive Grosnever model that describes this system, which is an important quantum field theory with mass generation and so on. And so there is a whole subject of integrable quantum field theories that is related to the behavior of the system near the critical point. But I don't want to discuss it now. So what I want to discuss is this. I want to return to the question, how the system, what is the structure of the what is the asymptotics of the system with fixed boundary conditions in the thermodynamical limit? So first, before I will continue, I want to make a remark that if you look at these configurations, then you see that I fix these boundary conditions, then the number of A1 vertices minus the number of A2 vertices will not depend on the state. It will depend only on the type of boundary conditions. Same for B1 vertices. So in this case, you can safely assume that these magnetic fields are equal to zero, and in fact that you have three weights, A, B, C for all these six vertices. And because everything is projective, so actually there are two parameters, A over B and B over C. All right, so we want to see what happens for large n, and one way to do it is to try to solve the system. The other way to do it is to try some numerical experiments and see how these most probable configurations look like. So the beautiful thing about Berkeley is that sometimes you have very smart undergraduate students. And, just you explain them what to do and they do it. So for example, if you want to find a most probable configuration for a large N six vertex model on this grid, you fix boundary conditions. One way to do it is to use so-called Markov sampling, or in physics it's known as Monte Carlo method, to find a sort of most probable state simply by arranging a random walk on the graph where vertices are enumerated by states of the system. So, say, I'll show some pictures for the 200 by 200 lattice, so you know you can guess that approximately it's 2 to the 100 squared vertices. So it's a large graph, and there was an accident. Somehow all my papers, including the prepared talk for this meeting, were somehow lost during the security check at Washington DC. So I had to redo all these computations again. And it just shows how effective the algorithm is. I have done it yesterday in about 5 hours, and each of these pictures requires about 1 million of iterations. And by iterations, I mean the following. Say the whole idea of the method is that you have graph where states where vertices are states of the six vertex model, and edges are elementary flips like this. Say if you have a path which has a corner like this, then what you can do is you can flip this corner and make a corner like this, if you can. And if you have a corner like this, then you can flip it down like this. So you have basically two types of elementary moves, flip ups and flip downs. And what you do is, and then you define the graph with these edges corresponding to elementary flips, vertices corresponding to states of the six vertex model. What you have to do is you have to sort of come up with some probability transitions that would satisfy so-called detailed balance condition. Once they satisfy detailed balance condition, this is a theorem that this random walk will converge to the most probable state. And so this is how these pictures were obtained. And each of these pictures took about 1 million flips. And so it was all done in a few hours. So it's on this small laptop. So it's a very... And to be honest, I never learned this for myself, but I heard that this is exactly how Google works. So here's an example of this of such state. Say you can see that the boundary conditions are paths are coming in here through the vertices enumerated, say from 1 to 40. They come in here through the vertices enumerated from 41 to 200, and then similar boundary conditions on the other edges. And this is the structure of the most probable state. So you can see that the system is frozen here. It's frozen here, frozen here, frozen here. This is where sort of some action is going on. And you can see that it looks like as n goes to the infinity, there is this continuous surface that is the limit of the most probable state. And what you can see here is sort of the the projection of this surface on the plane. So this is of the level curves of this surface. And you also can see the structure of fluctuations. Here the surface fluctuates microscopically. And in these frozen regions, there are these long tails, which are the only fluctuations possible in the frozen region. And because of this frozen, because of these tails, which are sort of inevitably appear in these computations, one may expect that in the presence of boundary conditions, the asymptotic will be e to the n squared something plus some linear term, which usually is expected in the statistical mechanics when you have something going on in the boundary. So this would be something like a boundary energy. There will be n squared term, and then there will be linear term, sub-leading term. So this is one example, and as you can see, this is this is the size 200 Q with 0.95 here. So this is another boundary condition. Again, Q is 0.95 here. And you can see that the structure of surfaces is quite different depending on boundary conditions. Before it was something like ellipse R type, and here you have clearly some cusps R in the limit shape. I don't know. I think for the finite system, I really don't know. Well, you see, if delta equals to zero, this is the dimer system. I forgot to say this, that if delta is equal to zero, it's the dimer system, and in this case, it's just the same picture as for the dimers. So in some sense, this should be considered as the perturbation of dimers. Well, here is some more examples. So if you change Q, this is another, and you can see always that there are these microscopical fluctuations, and then there are macroscopical fluctuations in the frozen region. So it's possible something like this. Here it's definitely, in this region, it's definitely a cusp.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So this is the same picture as the one before, but for different values of Q. You want to ask him? All right, so it can happen. So you see, this is for Q equals 1. The value of Q, if it's smaller than 1, then Q to the volume somehow should be maximal for these values of Q. So if Q is less than 1, then the relative volume should be small. So if Q is descending from 1 to 0, sort of the expected configuration becomes closer and closer to the configuration with the minimal volume. When Q increases, the expected configuration becomes closer and closer to the maximal volume configuration. So if Q equals 1, well, this is something in between, and you can see that the limit shape was disconnected for Q less than 1. It becomes connected with cusps here, sort of this. Disconnected components merge to themselves. So, and this is what happens for Q equals 1. Alright, so the previous picture was Q equals 1. This is the limit shape for Q less than 1. You can see that there is fairly dramatic sort of change of the limit shape as you change the value of Q. All right, so this is Q greater than 1. Okay, so these are some pictures. And say if I would be a physicist, I would say that it's obvious that there is a limit surface. So, and here's the experimental data that proves the statement. Well, of course, it's better to have some decent proof of this, but this is quite complicated and is still an open question. It's being proven for dimer models that in dimers there is a limit shape. And I don't remember who was the first. Was Kenyon Prop? Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay, so there is an experimental proof that the system develops.
I think if I
It should work for the 6 vertex model as well, yes. So, since this is all work in progress, so I'm reporting only experimental results. I don't want to discuss the proofs so far. So then, if there is a limit shape, how to describe it? Well, here is the, again, it's, so far this is just a statement, and I can explain why this is true, why this is expected to be true. And again, the real mathematical proof should be quite parallel to this mentioned paper by Kenyon, Prop and Kohn. And so the expected result is the following. If Q has these asymptotics as n goes to the infinity, if it's converging to 1 with this speed as exponent 2 lambda over n for some finite lambda, then the most probable height function, or I should say a most probable height function, because there are many of them quite close to each other, converges to some continuous function on the unit square, function of the ratio of these coordinates. Typical, yes. Typical, yes. I said a most probable. I should say typical, yes. So this height function is a continuous. Its first derivatives are continuous, and it should be a minimizer of the of this functional, which consists of two parts. One part comes from the partition function from the microscopical fluctuations of the 6 vertex model. Essentially, it's the integral over this unit square. The partition function, I mean, the free energy of the 6 vertex model as a function of the gradient of this limit height function, plus the linear term, which comes from the weight Q to the volume. With the boundary condition, or with fixed boundary condition, H at the boundary is fixed by this limit function of boundary conditions. Here, sigma is the Legendre transform of the free energy, or it can be interpreted as surface tension in terms of these three-dimensional surfaces. So then for the partition function, it's expected that it will be the exponent n squared times this functional plus smaller terms than n squared, most likely linear terms for the fixed boundary conditions. Pardon? Lambda is a constant which is given by Q. It is assumed that Q approaches to 1 with this law. Okay, so this is what's expected, and just maybe I should say a few words So this is really the limit shape, and then if you consider the system for large n but still finite n, then there are fluctuations around this limit shape. And of course, the fluctuations are different. Minus sign, of course, yes. Yeah. Don't pay attention to plus and minus. Okay, so fluctuations are different depending on which part of the limit shape we are. If it's a linear slope, then it's either frozen, so all fluctuations kind of microscopical. If it's on the smooth part, but not a linear part, then this is a disordered phase. Fluctuations are described by C equals 1 conformal field theory by Gaussian model. I shouldn't say fluctuations, but fluctuations on large scales, large but still small comparing to the size of the system. If it's a linear horizontal part corresponding to this gaseous state, then fluctuations are such that correlation functions decay exponentially. So I should say a few words about scales there. So maybe it's better if I'll write. So this was our initial square. So if you look at this square from far away, in other words, if you focus on the distances where this ratio is finite, what you will see the limit shape of this random surface. If you focus, so it will be, say, something like this. If you choose a point here inside of the disordered phase, then if you choose a neighborhood of this point of the size square root of n, then inside of this neighborhood, the fluctuations will be described by, this will be Gaussian fluctuations. And this, they will be described by C equals 1 conformal field theory. If you consider a neighborhood of this limit shape, then, again, it's not a theorem, but it's, one should expect that in the appropriate scale, which depends on the direction, I don't remember, I think it's n to the 1/3 and n to the 2/3, depending on which direction. The fluctuations will be described by so-called eddy process. And in the neighborhood of cusps, one should expect, if it's really a cusp, one should expect so-called Pierce asymptotics. Again, there, the fluctuation has its own critical power of n. So, so again, this is work in progress, so I'm just, I thought that it would be interesting to give this talk at the string theory conference, because after all, what are strings? These are fluctuating surfaces in the appropriate spaces. So then, so this is an example of fluctuating surfaces where you can actually do something, concrete computations due to this very simple nature of this example. One more remark is, here we have sort of fluctuating surfaces in R3, or rather in Z3. The natural question is, because of the string theory, because string theory, sort of most interesting stuff is happening in some other dimensions, is it possible to extend such thing to other dimensions? And the answer is, of course, yes. As I mentioned, the six-vertex model has some intrinsic symmetry described by the algebra UQSL2-hat. So, and it's also known that if you take, say, just the simplest, more general example, UQSLn-hat, there are models where the intrinsic symmetry is described by this system. And these are the models where you have not just this path interpretation with either edging empty or it's an occupied by path. But in models with this intrinsic symmetry, the edge can be occupied by n minus 1 different paths. And because you have n minus 1 different paths, so you have several height functions, so this will be an example of a fluctuating surface in higher dimensional space. So there are some numerical samples, but beyond this, very little is known. So that's sort of where I want to finish this. So as I said, these are examples. So first examples of fluctuating surfaces are dimer models, and I think Andrei, you probably talked about this. And okay. So this, from the physical point of view, dimers are free fermions. so Gaussian models. This model is a model of thermions with interaction of type psi to the 4. So this is a model of interacting fermions. It still displays very similar behavior. But you can see that sort of the structure is richer. So I think this is where I should stop. And this is all work in progress, so this is why it was a little bit messy. Thank you.